like to think they know something about football!
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Packer Transplants Live, coming to you live across the street from Lambeau Field. It's Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV, and we are ready to talk some Packers. Tell us what's on tap today, Corey.
Today, we'll revel in the Packers 3-0. We're reveling right now.
3-0.
And we'll get you ready for the Philadelphia Eagles tomorrow night, baby. Tomorrow night right here at Lambeau Field. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
Jamal. He's a mutter. Williams.
We got the bad. We got
interior of the defensive line.
We got the ugly. We got
RPO. No.
Oh, no, RPO.
Don't like those RPOs, Corey.
RPO knowing. Maybe we'll get better.
Hopefully. How the hell are you, Corey Banky?
A lot of season left, Nagler.
Whole lot of ball, game, and season left.
Feeling good about the season right now. Green Bay is on fire, and I can't believe it. I actually cannot believe it. I'm a little disappointed in the beat writers.
Oh, you're going to go there. You're going to launch into it.
Life is not, like, you know, nothing's new here. It's like they talk too much crap about the Packers. I'm disappointed. Uh-huh. And then nobody's praising them, and I'm disappointed.
They're 3-0. Can we get some love for the team?
When's the last time we were 3-0? You got that in the script here,
2015.
Wow.
2015. Like, it's been a while.
Been a minute?
I believe they ended up in the divisional round.
Been a minute?
Been a time. But they are 3-0. Things are fantastic.
Very exciting.
Let's get to the Packers news, shall we?
Oh, there's Packers news.
Speaking of 3-0, the Packers are in first place.
Holy moly.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it in.
Wow.
The most competitive division in the NFL.
Yes, the best division in the NFL.
Not a single loss among them. There is one tie for the Lions. But nobody's lost in this division outside of the Packers. That's it. The only losses these teams have is to the Packers.
I like it.
Because we dominate.
I like it.
Because of the Green Bay Packers.
Number one and the number one and the number one.
As we did just say, first time since 2015, since the Packers have started 3-0. And, hey, how about a shout-out for Matt LaFleur? Matt LaFleur, first Packers head coach to begin his tenure 3-0 since
Vince Super Bowl Trophy Lombardi.
Vince Lombardi. In fact, they're the only two to ever do it.
Wow.
That's 100 years of history. Matt LaFleur matching Vince Lombardi.
Wow.
And Vince.
Those are some big shoes to
fill. Hey, tomorrow night in this building right here, Matt LaFleur has a chance to become the first coach in the 100-year history of the Green Bay Packers to start his tenure 4-0.
Wow.
Vince couldn't do it.
Wow. So he would be better than Vince Lombardi.
That's where we're going.
That's where it's going.
I mean, that's clearly
trending. We got to win.
It's clearly trending that way. What else we got here on the news front? We have eight takeaways by this Green Bay Packers ball-hawking defense. Remember what it was like to have a ball-hawking defense?
I vaguely remember it.
It's back, Corey.
It's like a blur. Oh, you know when the last time that was? I think this guy was the quarterback.
Oh, was that the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers?
Do you like my new mug?
I love that mug.
This is my new old mug. I got it for
$1. You used to have that mug.
I used to have this mug. I totally destroyed it. The little like paper came out of it,
and it was destroyed.
Yep, I broke it.
But now you found a replacement.
It's gonna take me a decade to break this one, I think.
Well, it took me
about a decade to break that one.
Salute to you.
But, it's my favorite mug of all time, actually.
And now you've got it back. That's good stuff. 8 takeaways.
$1.
Ball-hawking defense, making it happen all sorts of ways, whether it's interceptions, whether it's forcing fumbles.
This is like a different team. Like, I woke up.
Yep.
It's like if you were Rip Van Winkle and you went to sleep in 2018 and you woke up, you were like, who the hell? What is going on? Who are these Packers?
The play on the field, but the vibe around the team. Everything they're doing.
It's amazing.
Everything about it.
It's amazing.
I love it.
It's very exciting. Hey. Overshadow Sean, top chat.
Thank you for the super chat. And just so you guys know, we won't be reading any of the super chats in the first part of the show, but thank you for the $20.
$20.
We will get to all of your super chat questions at the end of the show after Blogosphere.
We're going to try to keep somewhat of a flow because otherwise my brain gets broken.
Corey can't handle the super chats live. It doesn't work. Doesn't work for him. So after 8 takeaways, we've got some disconcerting news. A bit of a downer.
Here we go,
Nagler. We're talking about the great Green Bay defense.
Okay.
Za'Darius Smith showing up on the injury report.
Questionable
with a knee injury.
I don't like it.
Clearly this happened during the week, during practice. Didn't start the week on the injury report. Appeared the next day. Now, questionable now is very different than it was back in the day. It used to be before they changed the rules around the injury report. Reporting, back in the day, questionable was a pretty good chance he wasn't going to play. Now, you don't know if it's he's really truly 50-50 or he's actually 75.
My gut right really now at this moment is telling me he's going to play.
He's going to
play? That's based on nothing, by the way.
He's going to dominate? He's going to take Jason Peters to his house?
If he plays, he dominates.
Of course.
I'm excited to see. Look, if he doesn't play tomorrow, that's a huge blow to the defense.
I
am excited to see.
Rashawn Gary. I mean, and Kyle Fackrell is on the injury report as well. So Gary's really got to step up.
Wow.
Got to have a whole bunch more from the rookie.
Wow.
Who we'll talk about a little bit.
No Sackrell then, huh?
Well, maybe. We'll see. He's questionable as well, I believe.
Ooh, what if Sackrell just came out and had 4 sacks? You'd be like, wait, what?
Weapons on defense.
Weapons.
Hey, can we talk about your Rob Domofsky invitation here for a second? Because it made a little bit of waves on the old Twitter.
Did it?
I talked to Rob in the media auditorium on Monday.
Okay.
Because he took umbrage. Not umbrage, but he vehemently denied that you had nailed the actual
I thought imitation was the sincerest form of flattery.
Something like that. But I said, look, it wasn't so much the tone, like the voice was perfect, but it was the smack before you spoke.
And what he said.
And what you said. And like,
I repeated what
you
he said.
You nailed it.
Yeah.
You absolutely nailed it.
I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was the greatest. I mean, when Wes Hodgkiewicz was like, oh, that was pretty good, I was like, all right.
I mean, what more stamp?
Yeah, what else do you need?
Than Wes Hodgkiewicz.
You know?
Saying, that's a good Rob DeMarco.
I thought it was pretty good.
It was pretty good.
You know?
I was impressed.
It's hard, I know. When I say things, sometimes the trolls come out, and then I get blamed for the trolls.
You? Trolls?
Get out. You know, exactly. I'm a little trolly.
Let's talk about the offense, shall we?
Yes.
The Green Bay Packers offense, which everybody's all upset about. I'm telling you, people, they're close.
Yep.
They are close.
Yeah.
Just get a little more time, a little more attention to detail, but they are close.
A lot of exciting things from the offense.
Absolutely.
Last weekend.
100%. Now, this has been a theme all week. I'm very interested to see what they do to try and mitigate this. Third downs. Third downs are killing them.
Yeah.
They're hovering around like 25% conversion rate on third down. That ain't going to get it done. Offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett earlier today talking about how you'd like to be hovering around 40%. If you can get to 40%, that's playoff football. That's going to get you to the playoffs. For me, it's all about first down.
Yeah.
It's getting into third and shorts. As opposed to all of the third and longs they've been living in, they've been giving these, you know, stretch zone plays that end up at second and 11, second and 12.
Well, and you got to imagine a lot of this is blocking. Like, there's serious blocking misassignments. You watch Ben Fennell and you watch these guys post videos.
Yep.
And it's like
breakdowns.
And a lot of it's tight end blocking. Don't want to point too many fingers, but that's certainly part of it. You know, if you're not blocking and make that extra 2-3 yards, you're not doing it right. All right, somebody's yelling at us. People are yelling at us.
People yelling. I don't know what they're saying. I can't hear what they're singing, but I'm gonna dance along to it.
Oh, fly, Eagles, fly. Of course, Eagles fans. I'm surprised they're not singing the asshole song.
Oh my God, the Eagles suck!
I mean, don't these people understand they're in Green Bay?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing.
But it's hilarious.
I hear it. Free crowd.
Maybe they can hear it. Hey, free audience. We like it.
So, yeah, they just got to be better on first down. Like, they keep getting in these second and longs and then third and longs. Just get into manageable situations and don't make Aaron Rodgers hold on to the football. Get the ball out of his hands quickly and you'll be there.
Yep.
Speaking of the suspect nature of some of the tight end blocking.
Oh, Jimmy Graham.
What do we do about Jimmy Graham?
What do we do? I feel like the coaches and Goody's in a little bit of a conundrum here.
Well, okay, so
because you're in a place where you stop playing the guy, you play Big Bob Tonyan, right? You play all these other guys.
That's what they should be doing.
But then what happens to Jimmy Graham?
Because you can't pay the backup guy sitting on the bench $9 million.
No.
$12 million, whatever it is they're gonna pay him. They are paying him. Feels like, and here, Monday, I asked LaFleur about Jimmy Graham, and I asked, the way I phrased it was, are you at a point of diminishing returns, which was about as politically correct
that was
as I
nice.
Could put it. What I wanted to say was, is he playing because of his salary? Because that sure seems to be the case. And now, look, I don't think...
But LaFleur doesn't make decisions based on somebody's salary.
Well...
In a vacuum.
Yes.
Yeah, in a perfect world.
But I think, you know, he's dealing with a groin injury. He's dealing with a quad injury now. Sit him down. Let him get right. Stop running him out there because right now he can't get separation, what little separation he ever could get. He's not getting that now. He saw the offensive pass interference penalty last week. Sit him down, get Bob Tonyan some run, and let Jimmy get right. Get him this mini bye, and then let him come back. But to me, just continually running him out there, he's given them absolutely nothing this year. And yeah. I know the mantra all week inside the building between LaFleur and Rodgers has been, we got to get Jimmy involved. This offense can't get where it wants to go without Jimmy's involvement. No, 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 no. I vehemently disagree. And I know I'm nobody, but I couldn't disagree with that more. I think trying to force things to Jimmy Graham will only hurt the offense.
Yeah.
That's just my two.
Well, and I mean, you know, there's three or four video clips of just, I mean.
Oh.
It's like bad.
Brutalness.
It's real bad. It's real bad. I mean, as a coach, I can't imagine you can put up with that kind of blocking situation very long.
The hard stuff is like, you know, the screen stuff. When they go on the perimeter and he's asked to get out in front.
Yep.
And he either totally whiffs or chooses not to block anybody. Or when he does actually get his hat on somebody, it only lasts for a second because he's not very good at it.
Well, and it's also, you and I talked about this 2 days ago, it's the wide receiver blocking as well.
Oh.
You know, out in front in space.
It has been poor.
And
whether that's in the screen game, in the run game, you got to have good blocking from your wide receivers if you want to bust some runs. And they have not done that yet because their wide receiver blocking is suspect.
Yeah.
Has been through three games.
It has been.
Got to improve there. Definitely. Speaking of needing to improve, and we are on the offensive side of the ball, so there's a lot to talk about. The RPOs.
Oof.
The RPO knows. I asked LaFleur about that as well, and he was very diplomatic, saying it's all correctable. It's all about the details. And now there I agree with him, because there was a specific RPO that I put up on Twitter the other day where Geronimo Allison is lined up in the slot, and he literally runs a slant and makes the break at 5 yards. And Rodgers is ready to throw him the ball at 3 yards. But Geronimo's not even looking. So Rodgers knows it's an RPO. They've got guys blocking downfield. He just chucks it into the ground because he knows if he throws a complete pass out in the flat, it's going to get called back because for illegal men downfield, such is the nature of an RPO.
Yep.
So, but if you see that once, say in week one, that's one thing. But we've seen it every week since week one, repeatedly, to the tune of 3 or 4 times last Sunday in that building, where Rodgers, one time, and that's the other thing. It's not just Geronimo. If you saw, it's the young guys. There was a play where he looked to Adams on the left side in an RPO. Adams isn't even looking for the football. At least Gimo got into his break and looked. Adams isn't even looking. So whatever they got to do, the RPO, they want to get with it. They want it to be a significant part of their offense, apparently. Well, holy cow, do they need to drill the hell out of it.
They need to work on it. Yeah,
they
again, that's one of those things where all of a sudden you get some success with one play. They get to build
That
gets going.
Yes, that's very
true. And a lot of RPOs, everybody's got to be on the same page. They seem such a simple thing, but if everybody's not on the same page, it's not happening.
It's falling apart, and we've seen that quite a bit. Something we saw a lot of on Sunday against the Broncos, two backs.
And who's surprised about that?
Two backs. And I'm here to tell you.
Is anyone surprised?
So many people hand-wringing about Aaron Jones not getting the ball. Did you watch the game?
Yeah.
It was a mutter game.
Yeah.
Jamal Williams is that dude.
Yeah.
He's like Edgar Bennett back in the day. He gets the rock, and he just runs well in that scenario.
Yeah.
He was getting tough yardage. He was being utilized in the passing game. Feed him the ball. Aaron Jones got his carries, but sometimes, some situations, it's going to call for Jamal Williams. And let's not forget, Aaron Jones has yet to make it through a 16-game season. Keep him healthy.
Well,
and
let's not
fresh.
Forget, back in 1996 there, Nagler.
Two backs.
Edgar Bennett, Dorsey Levens.
Two backs.
I believe we won a Super Bowl that
year. With a fullback like Danny Vitale named William Henderson, who is also good in the passing game.
I need Danny Vitale to block for a Kumerow touchdown.
And then that would be like your dream come true.
And then I need Kumerow. Then I need Kumerow to block for a Danny Vitale fullback dive.
I see. It's all coming together.
Okay. 1, 2, buckle my shoe.
Corey.
I just want it. And then I want to meet Jay Kumerow at Chipotle. And then
your life will be complete.
The circle will be complete.
The circle will be complete. For those of you who don't know, we saw Danny Vitale out at Chipotle.
After a game.
After, like, literally a
we
couple
were getting
hours
our, We were getting the same protein, homies. We were proteining
stuff.
It up.
Yeah, we were. And then what happened? I said to Danny that day, I was like, I saw you splitting out wide. And he said, yeah, we got something ready. And then last week he gets the ball, which should have been a touchdown.
I mean, I was depleted of nutrients the same way Danny Vitale was. I feel, you know, this body.
You're like a.
I'm like a mini me Danny
Vitale.
Don't ever
do that again, please. Don't ever do that again. Especially on camera. When
yeah, right.
Are
oh, we're live?
We are
oh,
live, sir.
Psych.
This isn't the rehearsal.
No, that would be really funny, though. I am like, I'm like mini-me Danny Vitale.
Rachel wishes.
Yeah, right?
So let's talk about the defense. Let's talk about the happy stuff, the good stuff. The team that is balling out, dominating opponents, hasn't allowed more than 16 points in a game. Come on.
I can't believe you just were talking about the Packers defense.
That was the Packers defense. How crazy is that?
Still a little bit in denial, I have to admit.
It is. I mean, well, here's the thing. We know they haven't faced a murderer's row of quarterbacks.
Nope.
Totally understand that. But I also know you don't get to pick your schedule.
Nope.
You only get to play the people that are put on the field in front of you.
Patriots.
And so far, the Packers have dominated. And Carson Wentz will undoubtedly be their biggest test yet at the quarterback spot. Another big test. Look, remember when last year, the Vikings game, they pretty much had the game in hand for much of the first part of the game. And then all of a sudden, Stephon Diggs goes 75 yards over to Von House and Kentrell Bryce for a touchdown.
Yep.
And all of a sudden it was on, right? And then the next week in Washington, first drive, Washington goes deep right at Kentrell Bryce. And Mike Patton said, once you put it on tape, teams are going to keep doing it and keep doing it until you prove you can stop it.
Yep.
And my worry is, after watching the Broncos run up and down the field on the Packers, especially along the interior with that defensive line not able to get off blocks, not able to get push, I think the Eagles are going to try and do the same thing. They're going to try. They've got a very good offensive line.
I mean, you know what that means, right?
Kenny Clark, Dean Lowry.
He's got to run up that score so they can run all day.
There you go. But so that D-line, it's got to play better. It has to play better, especially in the run game tomorrow night here against the Eagles.
I hear you, but here's the thing, okay? Every time the Packers have been number one, number two, or number three in takeaways for the season, pretty much we got to the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, that's true. Opportunistic football.
I mean, I just pulled that out of my butt, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. Okay?
That's our masthead, by the way. Cheesehead TV. We pulled it out of our butt. We're pretty sure we're
so
right.
So, I know that means, like, oh, okay. That means, like, defensively, the takeaways mean all of the things are happening, not just one thing is happening great, right?
Yep.
So if run defense isn't happening so great, there's this other thing over here. We get them in this moment, boom.
We're going to paper over the cracks.
We're going to paper over the cracks with takeaways. And as long as we can generate – now, we've had years, even Fritz Schirmer years, where – well,
Oh, there it is. You said you were going to do it, and you did it.
I did it.
Fritz Schirmer years, taking away the football, they definitely lived by it, and they definitely – the difference is, to me, it's like if you're living by the turnover – you got to continually do it. It's like a three-point shooter in basketball or a team that's really good at the three. Well, if that's your go-to and your bread and butter and that's what you count on and that's what you've won games with, you know, you better be sure that that never goes away, because the one time you're going to be counting on it and it's not there, well, then you're in trouble. Then, you know, that's how teams ended up out of the tournament in basketball football teams living and dying off turnovers. This Packers team has generated 21 points off turnovers so far this year. Without those turnovers and without those points, they aren't winning these football games.
There's still some left. I literally just kicked my cup over. I thought my mic went out.
And he literally said right before we went on air that
I'm going to kick that cup.
He said, make sure you don't kick your cup. And I said, I won't kick my cup. I have too much respect for my beer.
Sorry about that, you guys.
It's all good.
You had to see that.
It had to happen. So there we are on the defense. Jair Alexander.
I missed the whole thing you said, by the way. But basically, you reiterated what I said, right?
Of course. I'm 100% behind you. So we'll move on to Jair Alexander. That's how confident Corey is in his take. He has Jair Alexander-like confidence. Because I actually do.
He's got some confidence now.
This kid has started this season on an all-pro track, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
And he's only going up.
Yep.
I love this kid.
Yep.
Love this kid. Remember when Gutekunst dropped down in the draft and everyone was freaking out because they didn't take so-and-so, they didn't take so-and-so, and then they jumped back up and took Jair, and everyone's like, why Jair? He's clearly not their first corner on the board. They're clearly just panicking, whatever. Well, if they did panic, I'm glad they did, because I fucking love Jair Alexander as a Packer.
He's been pretty mean.
Holy cow.
So have the rookies too. I mean,
right. Gary Savage.
Everybody was talking crap about Gary and both of those players.
He's starting to
show. 3 games in, and you're like, oh yeah, those guys
are
ballers.
Second. These guys can play. But I mean, Jair, come on, this guy. The way he attacked the football to create that turnover, that's a play we haven't seen in a long time. This guy smells it. He feels it. He knows it. He lives it. He breathes it. He breathes the ball. It is his. And if he can't have it, you're going to be damn well sure you don't get it.
Yeah.
I love this kid. I love it. And then after the game, he's asked in the locker room, do you think they're the best team or best defense in the league? Oh, yeah, for sure. Watch the tape. I love this kid.
He has zero shortage.
I love this kid.
Zero.
Love him. All pro. Speaking of the rookies, Gary and Savage get the love. Kingsley Keke got his first extended action.
Yep.
And he held up well.
He had a really good training camp,
and he's been down for a lot of these games early, but now Montrevious Adams being down, he's going to be down again tomorrow night. Opened a spot for Keke in the rotation, and I thought he played pretty well. Talking about that defensive line, yes. Was he taking advantage of on occasion? No doubt. Rookie making his very first, playing in his very first extensive NFL action. I thought you saw a lot that you could hang your hat on and say, okay, I can see how this kid's going to help us. I think he's only going to grow, and I'm excited to see him tomorrow night start kicking some Eagle butt.
Yes, I'm excited for the Eagles to lose tomorrow night.
That is always a great time. Always a great time, especially with our friends across the street singing Eagles fight songs.
It's like you come to Green Bay and be that rude.
I mean, we invite you into our home. And you
That's
come
so weird. This is a beautiful place. Look how nice the weather is.
Gorgeous.
You got nothing to complain about. The game hasn't even started
we're
yet,
like,
and you're already
24 hours away from
bringing
the game
your yet. Trash over here.
Okay. Well, Philly. You really surprised? You've been to Philly Stadium.
I mean, I met somebody from Philly last night, and he was perfectly nice.
Well, he wasn't in game fan mode yet, probably. You know, it's like Gremlins.
True.
You know, don't let him see the
True.
Eagles.
I have a bet with an NFL Network producer.
Oh, yeah?
Okay?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
NFL Network, I think CBS is over there across the street.
They're both over there, yeah.
I have a bet going on with an NFL, a true to form, a guy who produced Good Morning Football.
Yep.
He now does not. He produces another show in our studio. And I have a bet with him. His name's JB. And I have a bet that if the Packers win, he's got to wear a cheese head in the studio and direct shows and a cheese head. And if the Eagles win, let's not think about that, I have to wear a cheesesteak hat. And you know what?
That doesn't exist. He made that
He's
up.
Got it.
He's got it.
He's
got make it himself.
Nope, he has it. It's in his parents' basement.
He says he has it.
And here's the thing. I really like cheesesteak. So I'm like, I'm not hating on it. It's a classic Wisconsin. It's like, oh, okay. Wear food on my head?
Sure.
Okay. I don't even think there's an Eagles logo on it.
Oh, it's just a cheesesteak.
Nice, a cheesesteak. Yeah, hey, nice cheesesteak hat, buddy.
Yeah, what do you got to do? You
hey, give me that. A cheesesteak.
Do you have to wear that on a job?
I'm going to wear that in my office.
There you go. See, where no one goes
no one
and no
comes
one sees
in there.
You.
Yeah.
So your punishment is you have to wear it alone.
It's going to be nice when I see that cheese head on his hat, though.
I love
on his
it.
Head.
Finally, wrapping up on the defensive side of the ball, we got Darnell Savage and Rashawn Gary, both hitting milestones against the Broncos. Savage collecting his first interception. Gary collecting his first sack.
Amazing. I
loved Gary's sack because they threw a tight end at him, and he was like, get the go off me.
Yep.
And then, like, which they did that to try and widen his rush. Secondary does his job. Flacco has nowhere to go. Gary promptly beats the tackle. Done.
Well, that's pretty crazy.
Love
look
it.
At look at you know Jair coming up. Okay, you could see that happening.
Yep.
As it was coming, but you put some pieces in place. You put Gary and Savage. You bring in the Smith brothers. Holy crap! Out of nowhere, probably one of the greatest moves Goody has ever made in his career to date.
Do you think Gutekunst like walks to work smoking a cigar every morning? I mean,
he should.
Does he just walk by Murphy's office and go?
You're welcome.
Hey, Mark.
Mark, you're welcome.
How does he not?
Wow.
Like, how does
those
he not
guys
walk
just in? Those guys just rolled up in like they belong here.
They were like, this is our team.
And now
this is our town.
They didn't play for the Packers
welcome.
Last year.
Nope.
It's crazy.
And now they are like
they are the Packers.
The Packers.
Yeah. And somebody made Zachary Jacobson made a he almost made it was like Goody's move is to the Smith brothers.
Right.
To what Ron Wolf's move was for Reggie. But then it was scary because then I was like, okay, slow down. You cannot.
Young kids.
You can't. You
young,
can't.
Young
and
children.
It was funny because somebody on Twitter, I think it was Zach Cruz maybe,
yeah.
Who was like, I think you're kind of comparing them. Like, bro,
yeah,
let's not do that. And he wasn't really. It was more about like the trades, but still.
I will say.
The trade for Reggie White.
The signing Reggie White. Was transformational, not only
for
Green Bay, but for the NFL.
Yes.
People, if you weren't around when the Packers were crap for decades, you really can't express what Reggie signing in Green Bay meant. Also, how it transformed the entire landscape of the league free agency-wise. But I do get it in the sense of the culture,
the pickup, the move, the change, the transition. Yes,
change of the culture.
But it's a much smaller version of that. Yeah, and that's what the only thing. That's the only
vibe around the team
pick.
Is absolutely 100%. And noticeably,
here's the thing,
totally different.
If you know, if the Packers go, you know, ball busters, we go to the Super Bowl, whatever. Right. Let's, you know, let's put that in a little box. I'm not saying we will.
We're pinning
but
that.
Even if we did all that, it still wouldn't be bigger than the Reggie White signing, and that's what's insane.
Not even close.
But it's huge.
Awesome.
It's great for this town. It's the 3-0 for the Packers right now, especially the last 3 years. I mean, come on.
That's the thing. Coming off of the malaise, coming off of just how
Nagler, if I freaking told you at training camp, okay, you and every beat writer out there said the same thing. They were like, oh, new coach. You know how many new coaches have never made the playoffs? And I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, well, wait, we still have Aaron Rodgers. We still, yes, it's a new coach, all this stuff. There is no way if I was in the downstairs hanging out with the beat writers and I'm like, guys, I really think we're going to go 3-0. Literally every single person would have laughed at me and they would have said, it's me too.
I don't think they would have laughed
at me. It's me saying it too, though.
Yeah, exactly.
So then they would
have 19-0 every year. But they probably would have said, yeah, it could happen, but it probably won't. That's what they would have said.
I think some of them would have been like, there's no way.
I will
There's
say,
no
you clearly
it's
didn't
a bunch
read.
Of, it's a bunch of negative Nellies over there.
You clearly didn't read my season
I'm sorry,
prediction.
Negative realists.
My season preview prediction where I said Matt LaFleur is going to make history and become the first Green Bay Packers coach to take his inaugural team to the playoffs.
I don't read.
But thank
Nagler.
You for supporting.
I don't even read this script.
Content. That's a fair point. Speaking of script, we should stick with it. Stick on it.
Oh, okay.
Nick Walsh, take us. We're ready for Blogosphere. Hit it. That's right! It's This Week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. This week in the Packer Blogosphere, I wanted to give a shout out to a few, I guess one is new and one is revitalized outlets, starting with Packers Maven. Headed
That's
up
like
by,
a Sports Illustrated
it's,
offshoot,
it's,
right?
It's an offshoot of sports. Right. It's under the Sports Illustrated
umbrella.
I believe they're doing a bunch of team sites. And Bill Huber is heading it up, and I have to say, it's excellent. Check it out if you haven't. It's free, and it's filled with tons of great content. Bill does a great job each and every day. He's been a one-man band for a long
yes,
time. He knows
has.
What he's doing. Really great content. Good video from the locker room. Check it out. Packers Maven. Bookmark it. Make it part of your daily Packers routine. And, as I just said, Bill came from Packer Report, and Packer Report has been redone/revitalized
yep.
with a former Cheesehead TV writer Ross Uglum
yep.
is heading that up.
Ross is the editor, right?
He is the editor. He brought Andy Herman with him.
So some Cheesehead TV.
Cheesehead TV alums.
Alums making it happen in the blogosphere.
Kicking it over there at
love
Packer
that.
Report. Make
I
sure
love
you
that.
Check them out as well.
I love that. There's you know, I know we are devoted to Green Bay Packers worldwide, but since we started this site, nothing makes me more happy than seeing people who are passionate, like Nagler writing and other writers who love writing about football and like getting their start. We've helped a lot
We're
of people.
We're an incubator.
We are an incubator.
We're an incubator for
sports writers in general. And kudos. I'm really excited. I love those guys.
When
and
they
I'm
announced
excited
it
to see them.
The morning they
I was
announced
really
it on
excited.
Twitter, those moves, I said, one of the things I love about Cheesehead TV is that's what we do. We take people that we think we see writing somewhere, anywhere. Could be on their own blog, could be on a fan blog. We see it, we like it, we say, hey, come on board, use our platform. You know, and I love watching people kind of grow, develop, draft and develop, baby.
Yep, draft and develop.
And then they spread their wings and they go and they do other stuff. And we've got a number of people now in the press box over there that started at Cheesehead TV.
It's crazy.
That's a little nuts to me.
It's crazy. It's like we have our own little quasi-coaching.
It's kind of funny how we produce these people who go out and get credentialed, but we can't get credentialed ourselves.
I thought you weren't going to talk about that.
I wasn't, but I just kind of hit me. I was like, that's kind of adorable. But anyway,
adorable.
That's what
hey,
the
we're
shout
still here. We're here.
To.
Look at we're this beautiful
here.
Place.
We're here.
Come on.
We wanted to give you know, you guys some time to
oh, yeah.
shout out in the chat. Hold on a second. Got to draw that up on our phone.
Okay, Walsh, hit us with
Walsh,
any
hit us with the questions, buddy. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So Michael asked, what's the beef between myself and Jason Wilde?
Wilde.
There is no beef.
No beef.
Zero beef.
Zero beef.
For those of you who aren't aware, I was in the press room on Monday. I wasn't yesterday on Tuesday. Wilde referenced me yesterday when he was talking to LaFleur, asking a question.
It's just what we do with Wilde.
Because on Monday, I was apparently a bit strident in my questioning of LaFleur. And everyone's like, oh, you really went after him. And I was like, no, I just don't get the opportunity to talk to the coach a whole lot. So I had a bunch of questions and I asked them. And Wilde messaged me right away and said, you know, I had been talking to the guys and I heard your questions and that's all I was saying. Wilde and I are totally cool. There is no beef. What else you got, Nick Walsh?
He's got, does the Mike Daniels move look like a smart move? I don't know who said that. Walsh is going to have to tell me.
I don't know about a smart move. I get
Ismail.
Ismail. I get why they did it. And I believe he's hurt now, too. He has a foot injury. I mean, look, they knew they had Lancaster. They had drafted Kiki, and he had looked good. I think that's a big reason why they made that move, is because they knew they had some talent behind him that they could count on. I'm not going to say it's smart or dumb.
They had to do what they had to do.
But they felt it was necessary. I think they're going to use that cap space that they saved by that move to try and lock up Kenny Clark. In that regard, probably a smart move.
David Orioli, thank you. He says, shout out to those helping out with the broadcast in New York.
Yeah, there you go. Nick Walsh.
We got Dean Walsh in New York right now.
Just, Dean's there too, right?
Dean's there. I don't know. I think Aubrey was there.
Aubrey, what's up?
Yeah, Aubrey
shout
was like.
Shout out to New York.
Aubrey feels like we're not close enough, but I felt like we're far. You know, Lisa.
I get close
there's
enough.
There's a lot of people
parties.
In New York making the show happen, people.
That's
it's
right.
It's not just this camera in Lambo. It's beautiful. Though.
I mean, Corey and I do very minimal work. It's really all done in New York.
I think the show would be better if we weren't on camera and you just had Lambo and then we just did VO over Lambo.
That's not a bad idea.
I think that would be better.
It would definitely improve the content.
Thank you, David. How drunk is Corey from a 1 in 10, 10 being the drunkest? Okay, right now I'm not. But I did lose my voice on Sunday because I stood on this rooftop and I just could not believe we were 3-0 and I watched the people leaving Lambeau Field and I yelled at every single one of them with joy. This was shouts of joy.
Amazing.
And I lost my voice and I just got it back.
And as of yesterday, he still was dealing with the
Nagler, has our scramble and pass scheme, Rodgers, been reduced by receiver talent or have teams finally schemed to defend the scramble and pass drill?
Well, I think that's been the case for a while. I don't think it's necessary to this year. You've seen that the last couple of years, regardless of who is that wide receiver. I do think, you know, teams definitely plaster when they're playing Rodgers because they know the ball is always live. It's always going to happen. You saw that throw to Tanyan. If Tanyan doesn't slow down in the middle of the route, that's a touchdown.
Oh, yeah, it is.
So I think teams know the book on how to play Rodgers and this offense when he breaks the pocket. I don't think it's necessarily, you know, a lack of talent at wide receiver. I mean, maybe that does kind of trickle down, the numbers 3 and 4, but hell, in this offense, they're not even running 3 and 4 wide receivers. It's mostly lots of 2 tight end, lots of 2 back. So, yeah, I don't think it's any different than it has been.
Klondike 6916, thanks for the super chat, $4.89. Do you think this defense is too good to be true? I'm going to say no.
Too good to be true, I guess, in regards to are they like fool's gold? No, I think any Mike Pettine D is going to be, as long as they're healthy, or relatively healthy, is going to be really sound, really well coached. Pettine's a real deal. I've been telling you guys since the night he got hired. He's one of my favorite moves the Packers have made in a long time. I love him as a coach. And, yeah, as long as he's in town calling the shots, this D will be for real.
Okay, so we got a lot of J.K. Squat. So J.K. Squat. J.K. Scott.
Good old J.K. Squat.
Okay, first thing, is J.K. Scott the next Ray guy? Slow down.
Oh,
slow
boy.
Down. Okay?
I mean, he's kind of on the track.
Slow down, Nagler. Okay, what's the beef with Corey and J.K.? Okay,
what no is beef. The beef?
There is no beef. Okay, there's zero beef.
All we got to do is get J.K. on this deck.
I love me some J.K. Scott. I have put it on Twitter. I said it. He's
you
a weapon.
Said it. He's a weapon.
He's a
Corey
weapon.
Corey Banky said
Speaking
that.
Speaking of Twitter, I'm trying to get 10,000
followers. Banky.
So
come
if you,
on.
This is a shameless plug to follow me on Twitter if you don't already, because if I get 10,000 by the game, I'm going to be really happy.
get it.
Yeah, there's nothing on J.K. Scott. J.K. Scott is a weapon. Run D is already a mess with Martinez. More troubling. Will the Packers D be able to cover Ertz and Gadeer tomorrow? My guess is the bubble burst and there is regression to the mean. Holy moly, Persian scribe.
Well, I would encourage you to look at my matchup preview column that went up on She Said TV this afternoon. I hear what you're saying about Ertz. I do think they'll bracket him. I think Jackson at safety will help. You saw Jackson at safety for the first time last week. I think he'll get more snaps in lieu of Redmond. And I think they'll use a lot of bracket coverage there. Because, look, Ertz is the one constant in this offense, and everybody knows it. Mike Pettine knows it. Clearly the Eagles know it. They're going to feed him regardless. But I do think they're going to try and make him go away from it. Alshon Jeffrey's coming back from an injury. Aguilar with the drops, as we all know, thanks to a viral video. I like the way their secondary line matches up. The one area where I think the Eagles could make a lot of hay, and I fully expect to see this tomorrow night, is passes to the running backs on first downs. You're talking about Martinez. I think Martinez and Jackson, some kind of combo coverage on Ertz. I'm not too scared about that. I'm petrified of these running backs in space on first down against Martinez, anybody. You saw the atrocious tackling at times last Sunday against the Broncos. You get some of these backs in space, and the Packers have given up more passes to running backs than any other defense. Now, some of that is because they're in third and long, they're passing it down to the back, etc. But they have allowed lots of passes to running backs, and if they get some of these guys in space and that bad tackling returns, that could become a problem. They could make some real hay on first down. That's the one big worry for me.
Ken Brown, thanks for the super chat. Appreciate it. This is hilarious. Brandy Lewis, J.K. Scott doesn't kick the ball. He just tells it to get lost. That's hilarious.
Perfect.
Corey, can you get Mark Murphy's mom as a guest on the show? I hear she has the inside
That's
scoop.
That's amazing. That's a really
Let's
good idea,
do it.
Actually.
Let's do it.
I'm all for it.
She
knew Matt LaFleur before Mark Murphy did.
Yes, she did. Corey, where did you get your sweet arcade machine, Duke? It's called Prime Arcades. I cannot recommend it enough. Nagler has played his elevator action
game all day, baby.
I mean, it's great. The first thing awesome. I ask people if they're old like us is I go, what was your game growing up in the arcade? And this thing has like every game.
It's Russian
like
Attack.
Russian Attack.
Elevator Action.
Kari Warriors. It's all the Pac-Mans, all the Donkey Kongs, all the Galagas.
Wait, Walsh is talking about what Walsh? Say that again.
I didn't hear him. I heard him before, but it's fine.
Do I hear? Oh, wait. Sorry. Say it again. One more time. Yes. The question being, do I expect to see an uptick in Josh Jackson reps? Absolutely, 100%. I think last week you saw him splitting time with Redmond at safety. I think he will get more and more play as they search for kind of not a straight up replacement to Raven Green, but somebody to come in those three safety looks. Maybe he takes some stuff down in the box. Maybe they rotate him in cover three, but I do think he will get more play starting tomorrow night.
This is not a new shirt. This is an old shirt, but if Nagler ever gets his shit together, he will eventually get some more merchandising. And I think we'll have a Cheesehead TV shirt pretty soon.
Yeah.
We'll get to people.
We'll get a new one.
Maybe.
I want to sell out of a lot of ball game lefts first.
Maybe. Well, isn't there like only like smalls left or something?
No. There's a few of everything. Okay. Oh, there's no mediums.
Okay, people, buy a lot of ball game and then you can get a Cheesehead TV.
Get on the website. A lot of ball game left t-shirts.
All right. Last couple.
Last ones. Let's do it.
I can't find any.
All right, so that's it. Let's punt like J.K.
Because I don't care about Skip Bayless, so don't ask me questions about Skip Bayless.
Oh, God. Next, they're going to ask
All I Want for Christmas is anchored on an episode of Transplants, please. Okay, you got one at the beginning of the season,
exactly.
So you got your Christmas present, but it's going to happen again. Defender and Stargate. Yeah, it's got Defender.
Defender's the bomb.
It's got
man.
Defender for sure.
Love
it's got Commando, too, which is one of my favorite
Missile
games.
Missile Command.
All right, people, tomorrow night. Here we go. Packers, Eagles. It's on like Donkey Kong. I will be playing some Donkey Kong. So there's that.
Trademark.
Yep.
Shout out to the trademark.
You going to take this out or what?
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
That'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants. We are live across from Lambeau Field. The Packers are going to whoop the Eagles in that building tomorrow night. We cannot thank you guys enough for sticking here. Cheesehead TV, on the YouTube, on the Facebook, on the Twitter, wherever you're finding us. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thank you so much. Go Pack, go.
Hey, Winston, I'm sorry. Where is the Winston that has given us illumination and information in past press conferences? Did we do something that you're down on us again? But this was what, last week, it didn't go very well, and we want to talk about your guys, and I'm not quite sure what you want from us to make that happen.
I can't help you.